This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, have a drink. So we're recording from our new studio that, you know, works a little bit, which is very exciting. We're not cramped in a table. Max and I are at a reasonable distance apart from one another. Mm-hmm. We can actually see our waveforms as we're recording.
Everything mostly works. Like, basically, we've paid a lot of money to get rid of the problems that we had with the old studio and introduce a whole new category of problems. And what's cool, and this is like, you know what it's like, Alex? It's like a bad mobile game where we leveled up, but the monsters also leveled up. So it's like we defeated the easier problems, but now we have new problems that come up, and they're just more expensive to solve. Like, we have more XP, but which is money, but now it costs more money to defeat the monsters that arise.
Are you subcasting Clash Royale right now?
I fucking hit Legendary, and I'm on such a roll in Clash Royale. I hit Legendary again. I'm using we have one really good dude in our clan called
Fubar.
Fubar, and he's like I don't know, whatever, Grand Wizard. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I just copied his deck, and I was like, fine, I'll learn how to play this. And so the Three Musketeers deck that he has, and I'm just on a rampage. I'm just crushing with this deck.
Oh, look at you. Look at your... So right now, Merlin, I'm committing time theft, and I've opened my IAP mobile game. And so we're part of... Merlin, I know this is your favorite topic.
Yeah, no, I'm very interested in what the millennials are doing with games.
Max created a clan in Clash of Clans, which is better than Clash... Or no,
this
I'm sorry.
This is one of the screamy
Clash
face? It's a screamy face.
It's a screamy,
yes.
It's a screamy
It is a White King screamy face. Clash Royale is my favorite game of the past 2 years. And we have this wonderful clan called the IAP Boys. And I encourage you to join. We should probably cut this out.
We have spots if you play
if
Clash.
You're really good.
If you play Clash Royale, join our clan, the IAP Boys, and it's honestly probably the friendliest online community I'm a part of. I mean that without exaggeration. Like, everyone shares stuff with each other and give advice. Like, it's a great clan, and we just randomly have some very good players who are in the clan and kind of give advice to people. So I've been getting better at it, but it's for sure it's my favorite mobile game. It's a great game. I hate that they have the bad free-to-play like incentive design in there, but I like the game. It's very fun.
I mean, over the entire span of this game, I've maybe spent $60 over 2 years, which, like, if you think about it, like, a World of Warcraft is what, like, $12 a month? Like, I don't feel...
I'm probably in about the same boat. I think I've probably bought two of the like $50 like gem boxes, but that's again over like the entire over many years of playing this.
Yeah. I've been you guys talking about your studio. I've been having the same thought all morning, and I just upgraded to the new Hulu Live TV, and I think I'm at this point I'm spending about $700 a month in order to be a cord cutter. I have all these different shitty ass services that kind of work sometimes for some things with many asterisks. And at the end of the day, it's like, why don't you just be a person and just go pay $100 a month for cable?
Because you want to know. Listen, Merlin, you want to know when the lady comes on Shark Tank and she's selling wine for cats. You want to know right away when that happens. You don't want to wait later.
Yeah, but unfortunately, somebody from that particular episode was from San Francisco, so it's technically blacked out. That's an MLB term.
Oh my God,
that's the Shark Tank? Sometimes stuff just won't show up, and you're like, nope, not available. Programming not available. It's like, thanks, Sling.
I'm strong. Listen, I'm a big, strong man, and I have a lifestyle clothing that shows your butt muscles. I'm here seeking $1 million for 20% equity in my company, Butt Muscle Pants Incorporated.
That was painful. That was very... And her witty retort to everything was, yes, but I'm popular on Instagram. That was so bizarre.
You couldn't help then but go on Instagram and see that she was not that popular.
Well, but she'll just go like, but it seemed like a Mr. Show bit, because no matter what they said, she would go, yeah, I'm popular on Instagram. And then she'd turn and would literally show her ass to the camera. She just kept turning and doing this pose, like one of those like impossible spine bending comic artist. Like, I don't need to see both your boobs and your butt. I don't want to see any of it. I don't want to hear you. You're not allowed to use the word Instagram anymore. You have to talk about money now.
Digga, 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 digga. BuzzFeed, Austin. After a grueling 10-day trial, a jury has ruled in favor of InfoWars founder and CEO Alex Jones' ex-wife, Kelly, in the custody of their three children. The jury, which deliberated for roughly 9.5 hours, ruled Tuesday night to give Kelly Jones joint custody with the ability to dictate the residence of the children. Previously, she had joint custody with limited supervised visitation rights with residence dictated by Alex Jones. Testimony from Jones's March 4th deposition revealed that he was unable to recall the names of his children's teachers after eating a big bowl of chili. He admitted to occasionally smoking marijuana nearly yearly to, quote, monitor its strength, which is how law enforcement does it, end quote. And in typical Jonesian fashion, he told the court that he tested the drug because he believes it is now too strong thanks to billionaire and political donor George Soros, who he claimed in court has, quote, brain-damaged a lot of people, end quote. For Jones, the end of the trial means not only a resolution in a heated years-long legal battle, but also the end of an uncharacteristic bit of restraint.
Follow-up.
Oh, my God.
In a press conference following the end of the trial, Jones says the blustery pitchman also addressed a lawsuit filed against him by Chobani brand yogurt, saying he's considering countersuing.
We're thinking of an aggressive corporate strategy to actually go after the New York Federal Reserve and the school lunch program that Chobani's a part of,
Jones explained. Jones later lashed out at reporters for not taking issues on InfoWars seriously, including his worries about scientists reportedly injecting human cells into pigs, telling the assembled reporters,
do you have any idea how dangerous these human animal chimeras are?
Before telling reporters to Google it. The website founder also fretted about, quote, rhesus monkeys you can buy in Hong Kong that glow in the dark and are part jellyfish. And something he described as spider goats.
Can I just clarify, this is outside of the court building after he lost custody of his children?
Yeah.
That's the context of that press conference. Oh. Why is he battling with the good people at the Chobani Yogurt Corporation?
I lost the thread on this one. So he says Chobani is part Alex Jones Chobani. I think they're part of the whole Soros rhesus monkey chimera.
Big yogurt.
Yeah. No, wait. Let me get this right. Is it ISIS?
This is the revolving door of our sort of corporate democracy. Is people, they go into the government, they regulate the yogurt industry. 1 year later, where are they working? Big yogurt.
Suit was filed Monday in a district court in Idaho. At issue are claims made in a series of reports published by InfoWars that allege refugees employed by Chobani have committed sex crimes and caused an uptick in disease in Twin Falls, Idaho, where Chobani is located.
I get that it's not good to reference Idiocracy anymore, and it's like chew on the nose, but what the fuck?
I know.
Welcome to Walmart. I love you.
Hurry up, dumbass.
Oh, God.
Christ almighty.
These kids are going to end up in the acid bath. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
No, not
chimeras.
Anymore. Now the wife has custody.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be retaliation because he just wants to test it to see how the strength of the acid.
Merlin, you're a father. Do you ever have a big bowl of chili and forget critical life information about your children, like their birthdays and the names of their teachers?
I have to be honest with you. I have to regulate the amount of chili that I eat because it has such a profound effect on what I know about my child. I forget to pick her up. I think she's a boy. It's all horrible.
I blame chili, big Chobani chili. You have human chimeras.
One too many servings of chili and you forget her completely.
Oh my God.
It's like a
memory's very fragile.
Dad's gone demented. He had too much chili. He has the chili dementia. Very sad.
Very sad. Not good.
I don't have the chili dementia, but I'm genetically predisposed to get the chili dementia when I'm older.
Oh no, is that because you're part of the tribe?
Well, this is all going to have to be edited out. As we've discussed, Merlin, if you remember, our competitor podcast, The Daily Show, they got in a lot of trouble when it was revealed that one of their, this is the America's number one anti-Semitism podcast, and it was revealed that one of their co-hosts was, in fact,
the exception that proves the rule? Isn't that how that works?
I don't want our audience to think that there's any funny business going here because, critical anti-Semite demo.
That is, if you get that audience, that is a loyal audience. I mean, you know, most other kinds of programs, you make some casual Hitler remarks and all of a sudden, oh, there's a mass exodus, a diaspora, if you like. Suddenly, everybody's leaving your show because they don't like the Jewish talk. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if you get anti-Semites as your audience, you can say anything you want.
Well, and they buy a lot of powders is what I'm thinking.
So
I mean, they're not,
powder.
You know, they're these people, they don't have a lot of critical thinking skills. So you come on, you say, I take this powder. It's a super brain powder. It makes me smart. I don't need to sleep anymore. They're going to log on to Merlin Man powders. They're going to buy the Merlin Man brain crystals for $29.99 per serving, and they're going to use the offer code 16 words at checkout. Is that the right number? I didn't have time to Google it.
88HH. Digga.
Is the number of words?
What? What is the number? Am I in a Borges story?
Words. God damn it! What is the thing where it's their code name? Is it the 22 words? It's some number.
I don't look into this information a lot.
See, I was thinking of the HH and the 88. That's another one.
Come on, what is it? I want to know how many words. 14 words. Redo the joke so it says 14 words. We can edit that now. We have technology. Washington, D.C., Reuters.
No,
more than five months after his victory and 2 days shy of the 100-day mark of his presidency, the election is still on Trump's mind. Midway through a discussion about the Chinese president Xi Jinping, the president paused to hand out copies of what he said were the latest figures from the 2016 electoral map. Quote, here, you can take that. That's the final map of the numbers, the Republican president said from his desk at the Oval Office, handing out maps of the United States with areas he won marked in red. Quote, it's pretty good, right? The red is obviously us. He had copies for each of the three Reuters reporters in the room. What a fucking child. Our president is a child.
Surprised to learn that he had won. Oh, that's why we're in the president's office. He's the president. Okay.
It's crazy. It's like, do you remember the story from a couple weeks ago where he like walked by a gaggle of reporters and there was a photo of the inauguration crowd on the wall and he stopped and tapped on it. He goes, oh, what's this?
Who lives in here? Success?
All right. I'm going to start drinking one of my beverages. This is...
Digga. You know, this video has gone around of a friend of the show, John Dickerson, interviewing the president in his Oval Office, which has no corners. Have you seen the full unedited? Because the version they've been showing is where John... you see a lot online, is where John asks him, hey, you know, tell me more about this wiretapping. And the president doesn't want to discuss it. John pursues it very gently, and he makes a little kind of childlike noise. He's like, oh, why? And he talks a little more. And they cut off the part where Trump, they stop it at the point where Trump says, okay, we're done here. Have you watched it to the end to see what happens after that? He takes but it's not like he's leaving the room. He just walks away from him. He takes three big boy steps, sits behind his desk, and looks at a pile of what looks like blank paper.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then rearranges it.
It's absolutely insane. It's batty.
He just acts like he's not there.
He doesn't know how to, it's like he's just an awkward child. He doesn't have any interpersonal skills. He can't make a fucking, you know, the whole premise of Trump is that, oh, he's like a deal maker, but yet he can't make a deal with a Republican Congress to pass any of his shitty legislation.
He's very uncomfortable. there's a famous thing that was a funny bit on 30 Rock, but it's really, really true. A lot of people, when they have to appear somewhere and they're not behind a desk and they don't have to hold a mic and they don't need anything else, people don't know what to do with their hands. And it's often an indication. A lot of times you just plunge them into your pockets like they tell you not to do in public speaking classes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like he just, anytime that you can see his knees, watch out. He is very uncomfortable, right? He looks like he's waiting outside the principal's office. And in this case, he's got to go get behind the desk and get his big boy papers.
Do you ever fantasize about his legs? I just want to know.
Well, you can see his legs.
The actual leggy legs. Yeah, I want to see the man in shorts. Like he must have.
There's videos of him golfing in shorts.
Oh,
he's first of all. Nice. There's a couple of things. Google Trump golfing and there's like some great pictures of him bending over to pick up the golf ball. And there's a couple of things. First of all, he's like a lumpy old man. Like his thing of talking about how like strong he is and I would knock the hell out of them and like, oh, I'd like to fight him. And like, he's like a lumpy, misshapen, like obese old man. Like he's not going to fight anyone. He's like 10 minutes away from needing a mobility scooter.
Perhaps you're not familiar with my collection of photos called Who Wants Pie? Being a collection of all of the worst photos of Donald Trump that I could find. A regularly curated collection. And I do it in Apple Photos so I can export it as a movie with gentle music.
The one good thing we
can't,
for.
We can't wait to see what you're going to do with this.
There you go. There's a little preview for you.
Number two, my other observation about watching Trump golf in the shorts, he's clearly wearing an adult diaper. I don't know why there's not more conversation about the fact that he's obviously wearing an adult diaper. The president of the United States wears an adult diaper, everyone. I stand by that.
Boy, his slacks are really cut amply.
Well, you don't have the one of him bending over on the golf course here.
I should get that. I focus on chins and eyes. I love the chins. I got some good butt ones. I got a lot of tie ones. Every picture I could find of him with tape on his tie, I have.
Oh, wow. I really, the one where, I feel like, you know, the one that's dark and ominous? I feel like this is what he likes his self-portrait to be.
Yeah, the kind of bluish blur background one. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, it's in his official portrait. He looks like he's trying to pass a stone.
He seems to be a fan of the Zack Snyder lighting, I think.
I want to mention something about Nextdoor, which was the topic of last week. May I proceed?
Please proceed.
A couple people have contacted me through various means to say, hey, you guys, are you not aware that Nextdoor has had a proactive effort to try and deal with the kind of things that you guys were making fun of them about? So first of all, are you all aware of this?
Well, obviously we weren't aware about it because we were complaining about how bad and racist it was. So whatever proactive effort they're making, I assume they didn't start it since our podcast last week.
Well, I want to address this. And so basically you'll find this in show notes. You'll find a blog post. So in a nut, here's what they say. More recently, we've been testing an entirely new form-based process for how members create crime and safety posts. We are proud to report that the most effective combination of forms reduced posts containing racial... I don't know how you come up with this number. We're proud to report that the most effective combination of forms reduced posts containing racial profiling by 75% in our test markets.
Yeah, but that's the thing is it now...
That's a Bezos chart.
Is it now that the guy says... It's not that he says... I'm really worried about how many black people are hanging out in the neighborhood. And now they say, like, oh, I wish it stayed white out later. You know what I mean? Like, and their algorithm is like, ah, we detect 75% less racism.
Concerns about weather color.
You know, are they like, is that my thing? That's my thing is like, okay, maybe they made everyone change their like Confederate flag avatars, but they're all out there tweeting their 16 words or whatever. You know, it's the code.
Yeah, we don't need to go into it. I mean, I have a prepared remark. We don't have to go into this. I all I'm trying to say is this. Yes, I am aware of that. I understand like things like, and so here's what they're saying. They want to... God, this is so much corporate bullshit. One of the things they do is they've got like trigger words that are like, okay, obviously if you say darky or something, that's going to get flagged.
Oh, Jesus.
Their main thing though is they're saying, hey, stop, take a minute. Are you sure that this is a thing that you want to post? You know, would you be reporting this? Is this mainly because of this person? So I applaud the desire to reduce racial profiling. I think racial profiling is a knock-on effect of something much more fundamental, which is why people go to this goddamn thing at all. And racial profiling may be a result of that, but I don't think you can address the deeper reason that this is where people go because change is scary and you need a posse. And I think that's my feeling on this is like, you don't have to say, I mean, it's about xenophobia. It's about change. It's about confirming your suspicions about where the world is going and finding people who can give you more evidence to support that claim. So that could become about racial profiling. I think it's just a more general problem that the folks who are going to be using this app and site a lot are people who are fundamentally, primarily there to find allies about how change is scary.
Merlin, are you sort of aware? I'm sure you've heard Ev Williams like speak about technology. Are you sort of familiar with like I always think of it as like the Ev Williams like theory of technology and human nature, which is
I don't know. Share it with our listeners. So
Ev has this thing he says, which I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but it's that techno-utopists and Silicon Valley people, they often think that if you just build the right technology, it will kind of change how people act, right? Like if you just change people's incentives, it'll change how they behave. And his thing is, human nature is actually much more powerful than technology, and technology is just, it just amplifies human nature. So it just takes the way people are and makes them more that way. So if people are petty and dumb and talk over each other and partisan and you know, bicker all the time, and you build Twitter, it's not going to make everyone listen to each other and come to a consensus. It's just going to amplify their ability to be petty and shitty to each other. And if people are already racist and patrolling their neighborhood to keep certain people in and certain other groups out, and they're thinking oppositionally about their neighbors and being sort of xenophobic and territorial and small-minded and provincial in their thinking about what their community is and what their neighborhood is. Next door, having an open forum for people to talk about that, it won't solve those problems. It will just let them do it at scale, right? It just gives them a megaphone to be xenophobic but louder.
That absolutely makes sense to me. One thing, though, when we use these words, I am circumspect about a bunch of words, not just because they are fraught or charged or problematic, but like the word homophobia is not meaningful to me because I know that's meant to mean lots of different things, but I think we should be careful about how we use that word. I think racism is a word to be really careful about because we're calling it racism, but that's not a one bit thing. It isn't like you're racist or not. And that's, I'm a woke Twitter ally, so I feel qualified to discuss these things. But like, for example, like, okay, so there's a bunch of people acting a certain way about a certain other group of people. Well, what are the primary performance characteristics of that group? I think it's important to clarify when there is to really listen to what the people are saying and realize that at an extreme end, it is hate. There is something called hate. And hate is that I am all in on the fact that these people shouldn't even exist in some cases, right? But then you've got hate. Below hate, you've got things like anger. Like, I don't like the way that these people get treatment different from me. I don't think that's fair, et cetera, et cetera. So you got to go from hate, you go down to anger. Somewhere further down the line, though, you've got fear. And fear is super complicated. So I think just saying that you hate gay people is not the same as you fear gay people, because maybe you just fear change. And that, I think, to understand how America is going the way it's going, we need better words for this. So in this case, like, when I look at next door, what I'm trying to say, I don't see hate. I don't really that often even see anger. I see fear. I see total abject fear. I see fear of a loss of allies, fear of a loss of dependability, and fear that you are up to date on what is happening in your world and that there is now an encroachment. That can turn to anger and hate. But like, I think it's important to distinguish when we're watching people being fearful versus being hateful, because it can feel the same. And I know it's politically expedient to say they're the same, but they're really not the same.
I mean, I would love it if more people were afraid of me. Not gonna lie.
you gotta move the needle.
I'll just say, like, I at this point in, like, I'm in a maybe a fairly cynical phase here. I don't think that the project is to go out and change everyone's mind who says, all the people out there who, regardless of what's in their heart, they say racist things or homophobic things online, right? They say mm-hmm. fearful, hateful things online. Not really in the business personally. I don't feel that there's a lot to be gained by trying to change their minds. I actually think there's plenty of research that shows that, like, let's say someone says something really, really homophobic, and then you call them out on Twitter and you said, hey, the thing you said is really homophobic and it makes me feel this way and et cetera, et cetera. there's actually a lot of research that shows that that will actually cause them to double down on their homophobia, because it's called this thing called the backfire effect. You can go read
someone
it on,
should do a cartoon about that. That's
yeah, that's
idea.
Right. There was that oatmeal cartoon about it. But it is a real thing, right?
And he just to be clear, he learned about it from the very good You Are Not So Smart podcast, where they did a series on the backfire effect that I can highly recommend and I will put in show notes.
It's a real problem. Like, I first became aware of this during
it's true for everybody. Yes. It's not just dummies and ding-a-lings, because we're the dummies and ding-a-lings. It's true for everybody. You will double down on a belief if somebody very convincingly gives you a very rational explanation for something, that will cause you to believe what you believe even more.
There's, you know, liberals are not liberalism. Our side is not without its share of sort of crazy a priori things that are not supported by any evidence or data that people like cling to. And I would point towards the alleged health benefits of supplements and organic foods and things like that is like one particularly like wacko area of sort of like liberal ideology that does not hold up to any scientific scrutiny. But the more you sort of want to argue that with people, the more they double down on that they're keeping the toxins out of their body or whatever. But all of this aside, like, you know, like I first became aware of this with the vaccine debate, because there was all this research where people were projects where people were like, let's take the people who don't believe vaccines are safe, and what's the correct data to show them so that they change their mind? And they were like, what if we show them pictures of really sick kids who didn't get the vaccine and then got sick? What if we show them the clinical trials that show that the vaccines are safe? And it turns out it doesn't matter what you show them. Anything you show them that argues your point that vaccines are safe makes them retrench more firmly in their position that vaccines are unsafe, because they're thinking emotionally, not logically. So just to back up to the issue of like someone's online, someone's on Nextdoor, whatever, and they're saying a homophobic thing, they're saying a racist thing. I'm at a point of maybe this is cynicism or whatever, but where there's not a lot to be done to like go in and argue with them and have a debate and be like, ah, my friend, you've committed the you know, you've committed a ad hominem attack, my good sir, you know, and like, and have like a repartee with them. Like, that's not gonna happen. All you can do is sort of design, if you're in a position of sort of influence or power, just design a space where they can't say the racist or homophobic thing. That's basic, and like draw a line of good taste and say you just have to be on this side of the line of good taste. That's what I'm aware of what I can do. I'm sort of post wanting to like, you know, like find a conservative who doesn't think gay marriage should be legal and like engage them in a war of ideas.
Because now you're getting involved in your own false equivalency program.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can I say that's going to, they have we don't agree on enough sort of ground floor principles that would allow us to reach a conclusion together. Right.
No. Well, they also have a secret disintegrating naval disintegration beam. Remember, if somebody comes in the yard.
Oh, that's right.
Scary man.
Well, you're going to get some spider goats, and you want to be prepared.
I mean, seriously, I think safe spaces are made fun of a lot, but it's like I'm just not going to invite racists into my house, and I'm not going to like have mean people in my Slack channel. And we talked a while ago about feeling like Twitter was kind of being like gentrified by angry white men, and that's just what it feels like. There's no fun, nice place on the internet, and I don't think there's a way to create it. But I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's
weirdos with lasers.
That's
all
how
the way
I used
down.
To feel about. That's how I used to feel about comments. Where I, you know, comments. People run comments because it increases site traffic. That's why people have comments. No one cares what you think. That's why people do comments. It means three clicks instead of one, at least. So let's just get that out of the way. No one really wants comments. But think about how bad comment threads had to get before people would give away that much traffic, because it was so gross, so unmanageable, so off-putting to, like, you know, advertisers. Like, it's so amazing to me that that's what it took for people to take down comments. It was too costly to maintain, or we were losing sponsors. Whereas I always felt like, you know, I eventually turned them off on my site, because I felt like a little bit like I had this giant living room, or this series of, at any given time, 35 living rooms that I have to police to make sure that nobody's in there shitting on the couch when I'm not around. And, you know, I agree with you. And safe space is, again, such a fraught word. But, like, I don't think there's anything weak or incorrect or sad about not wanting to be forced to be confronted with people who are horrible. Like, why is that such a terrible thing? You know,
I don't understand why, like, the outrage whenever a site would turn off their comments. Like, that was like a story for a week when The Verge turned off comments. Like, why? You don't have a right to comment about the new Samsung phone.
I think that's because we don't think like most commenters, or at least I don't. I think of myself in a very fancy way as somebody who makes stuff and shares it with people and publishes. Right, that I'm a primary publisher of stuff in one way or another, which is kind of a fancy old school idea. I think what took me a long time to understand is that there are a lot of people who think commenting is what the internet is for, that it is an art form all its own. Whether you're a troll or an explainiac or whatever you are, you have a thing that you need to do on the internet. And I'm not saying this, I'm not taking the piss. I mean, I honestly think there are people who think as soon as you shut down the ability for me to leave my mark on your content, I have absolutely no interest in your content anymore. It would be like having a Twitter account that you couldn't follow. Right? I mean, what's the point if I can't see and then respond to anything you say regardless? Which is a different personality type. I don't think that way. That would be really weird and intrusive from my point of view, but I think that's a thing, don't you?
Yeah, we're just in like, we're also in just this like crazy Copernican revolution of like everybody in the world thinking of themselves as the pundit or the publisher, where it's like nobody, very few people I think go onto like a site like Twitter or Facebook to like consume the news. You're going on to be like, all right, everybody, buckle up. Like, here's the Temkin report, and we're on today. Ticka, 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 ticka. You know, it's like everybody's the fucking Wolf Blitzer of their own situation room.
No, you're in the situation room. No, you are.
That's the weird. That is the one area where they're like, you know, the like horseshoe theory where they're like far left and the far right like start to converge politically. It's total bullshit because there really isn't any ideological convergence, except there's a few areas where there are some funny things in common. And one of them is the people on the far left and the people on the far right. They all think posting is warfare. They all think that you're like putting on a helmet and riding into battle when you like make comments on Twitter. Like, suit up, guys. We got to post some big memes today. Welcome to the culture war.
We need, like, I don't know if this character exists, but we just need a John Stewart of the internet to talk to people the way he did, the way he talked to the guys on Crossfire, and just be like, okay, stop, calm down, everyone, be nice.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I have a long rambling story that I promise connects back to this. Can I tell it?
Please do.
Yes. Okay.
So when we did our California trip, we talked about this last week. We had the Cards Retreat in Napa or somewhere up there where the wine is. And we were looking for like some stuff to do. Like, you know, every day we want to like take a little bit of a break, go do something, have an experience, and then come back and make some jokes about it. And we looked at the idea of doing a hot air balloon ride, and I was too scared, so that got scrapped. And also it took like 6 hours or whatever. That's a hell of a way to die. I don't want to die in a hot air balloon, like slowly just drifting out to sea. You know,
also,
how do you
poop?
That is a great question.
You can't have kombucha on that trip. Ooh.
That's a great question. I assume they have some sort of...
I'm not going to go into any experience where at any point someone could say to me, you can't poop while we're doing this.
I mean, I guess they set it down and they have some sort of paint can that you diarrhea into. I don't know. But so we were Googling like stuff to do, and there's this thing called Safari West. Are you aware of Safari West?
No.
Merlin?
Never heard of it.
Oh,
nope,
boy.
Nope, never heard of it.
This is going to be your next family vacation. All right. So this is a place. It is a huge, huge tract of land where they, in Napa, I believe, where they raise antelopes, rare and endangered antelopes and of all different species. So it basically, as I understand it, started with this guy who I think his dad made a bunch of money in Hollywood or something. And he started raising show cattle, like exotic cattle, not even to eat, just to show and to have them because they were cool. And he was raising this African cattle called Watusi, which are these things with the huge horns coming out of their head. And then eventually he got into antelope, because when you're importing a bunch of animals from like the African grasslands, like why not get some antelope? And then he became like one of the largest keepers of antelope in the world and had all these endangered antelope species and was breeding them in interesting ways and all that. And eventually he got a bunch of land and moved up to like Sonoma or wherever. And by I mean a bunch of land, we went in a safari car, one of those like Jurassic Park cars, and we drove around for 2 hours and never saw the border of it. Like,
this, I'm looking at the site. This is so bananas.
It's right in your back. It's right in your backyard. Wow. You really should go. So the tour that we did was called the the Nerd Tour, and we actually had a zoologist. She studies bones basically. And she took us around and gave us all the sort of science and all the behavioralism behind the animals. Like it was quite in depth. Now it's become a big tourist attraction, and they have a bird sanctuary, and they have giraffes and elephants,
and zebras and gnus.
They have all kinds of stuff. Primarily just because they make their living, I think, with tourism now. And there were a couple of great things that I learned on this trip. Like, so one of them is like, we were in this one area and they have to trim, we were in this like forest, and all the forest looked bizarre because what they do is they trim, it's all oak trees because you're in Northern California, and they trim the oak trees 6 feet up so there's no oak leaves. And the reason is the oak is poisonous to all the animals. If they eat the oak leaves, they could die from it. So
we should just call this Metaphor Town.
So you're in a very Northern California like environment, you know, an oak forest, and there's like squirrels, like just North American ground squirrels running around, and like, you know, Canada geese and things, like just very, it's like very familiar. And then all of a sudden a herd of buffalo comes by, or like antelope or whatever. And at one point they were explaining like, oh, right. So they trim these oak trees 6 feet up, and they were like, oh, that's also why we have to keep the giraffes on like the other side of the park. Because if they got out here, they could eat the oak trees like all the way up above the 6 feet. And a giraffe can eat like 40 pounds of leaves a day. Mm. And Josh, without having any restraint, he immediately says to our guide, the zoologist, you should let the giraffes out and let them eat the oak trees and see who dies first. Which was a great moment. But here's the thing that this reminded me of. So when they have some white rhinos, and the white rhinos are pretty cool. I've certainly never seen one before. And I learned an amazing thing about white rhinos, which is the rhinos in nature. So here's the situation. They've got one man rhino and one lady rhino in a pen together, and they're trying to get them to fuck. And they won't do it. And it's been years, and the rhinos won't fuck. So what they did is they take another sort of virile, young male rhino, and they don't put him in the enclosure with the rhinos that they want to fuck. They put them next to it. And the idea is that his smell, his sounds, and his pheromones, and his presence will sort of spur the other male into being like, we better fuck now. So, and I think it's actually, they've had some success with it. But one of the fascinating things I learned is that these two rhinos have sort of like a, I don't know, territorialism or whatever, is rhinos have this thing that they form called a dung pile. So basically they're very neat animals. They all poo in one big tower, and this thing is called the dung pile, and it can get like, I don't know, 6-7 feet tall, quite tall. And when another, and that's sort of how they mark their territory, is with a big dung pile. And when the other rhino wants to come in to challenge the alpha rhino's territory and you know, cuck him and take his,
take his wives and chattel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, say, hey, listen, it's been 7 years and you're not fucking. And, you know, I'm going to get in here. He comes in and he knocks the other rhino's dung pile over. He uses his horn and knocks it to the ground and scatters the dung around and starts his own dung pile and says,
oh no, my dung.
Oh no, my dung. And he says, hey bitch, this is my dung pile now. Now look at this. And that's how he establishes dominance.
It's the gorilla mindset.
It is the gorilla mindset. And this is what I was thinking, is that this is really Twitter as we're describing it. Everybody, you work all year to build your little dung pile up. And then someone else comes along and they're like, hey, bitch, this is my dung pile now. And they scatter your dung and they start piling up their dung pile until they have a bigger dung pile, until someone else is like, comes and gets them and scatters their dung pile. And it's just this, like, all these gorillas just beating each other into submission. But at the end, if you could just step back and, like, look at objectively what's happening, everyone's just fighting over a pile of shit. It's not good. There's no objective quality to it. Like, I don't want a big pile of rhino turds.
I need another beverage after that.
Oh.
I think that's everything. Are we done with follow-up copyright John Syracuse 2010?
2011. I think so. This was Max's challenge.
Digga challenge. This week, the challenge comes from Max. What was our challenge, Max?
Okay, challenge time. So let me give can I give a backstory to this challenge, and then I'll talk about what it was?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So I have a little bit of beverage drama occurring in my life that I want to address publicly and see if I can.
Do you want to share out, Max?
I want to share out. I want to put this out on onto the feed, and I want to come to the Powder Nation and rally them to my side. And I want to see if I can get any relief for the affliction, for my beverage affliction that's been occurring in my life. Okay, story begin. So there's a coffee place in my neighborhood called Buzz Killer Espresso, and it's a very cute sort of delightful neighborhood coffee shop. At Buzz, since I've lived here and been going there several times a week, I've discovered the magic and the delight of the cappuccino. This is sort of a new coffee drink for me. Like, I always just ordered a latte because I conceptually understand that a latte is milk and coffee. And I don't, as it turns out, I don't really like a latte. I just sort of drink it because it's just sort of a hot, milky drink. But I don't really want a hot, milky drink. What I want, now that I've discovered that it exists, is a cappuccino. And the cappuccino, as they make it at their neighborhood place called Buzz Killer Espresso by my house, is a small, tiny little cup. It's got, I think, two shots of espresso, and then sort of milk foam and maybe just a little bit of milk. And the overall experience of drinking this is it's a strong coffee beverage with a sort of a delightful, foamy, light, toasted texture. It is not a big, tall glass of hot milk with some coffee in it. It's not that. It's its own foamy, delicious thing.
And you've, as somebody who thought you wanted in previous times, you thought your drink was the big foamy milk thing. This is it's a revelation for
it's
you.
It's a
this
revelation.
Is a whole new thought technology.
Exactly. And I'm like, holy shit, I've been spending years of my life getting a latte, and I don't like a latte. A latte is a big, listen, no grown man should drink a big, tall glass of milk, a hot milk. Nobody should guzzle a hot glass of milk. That's like a exquisitely weird food for a grown man to have every morning. So I'm very, listen, now I've seen the light. I want the cappuccino. But I have this problem of, like, if I go to any other coffee shop, I don't know how to get what I want. So if I go to, let me just start with a Starbucks. If I go to a Starbucks and I order a cappuccino, what I get is a small latte. It's like a shot or two of espresso, and then they fill the cup all the way to the top with hot milk. And I'm still drinking a hot glass of milk with a little bit of coffee in it. And then I had an experience when we went to NerdCon Stories, and there was that really good, I think it was like a Pete's Coffee, but it was like the convention center owned and operated. You know, it was like they had a good staff.
Oh, yeah.
In the convention center.
The only time this has ever happened in the history of conventions.
Yes, like, it was like an excellent coffee shop in the convention center. And, you know, I was in there 5 times a day or whatever, and I got to know the people, and I eventually said, listen, like, I don't want to be an asshole or picky, but I have this drink I love that's like a thick, foamy, like, cappuccino without a lot of milk. It's just sort of like, I think it's like mostly foam and espresso, and that's what I want. I just want that. I don't want a big, tall glass of milk. And the cashier who's taking my order goes, oh, she goes, you want a real cappuccino. And I was like, yes, a real cappuccino. That's what I want, a real cappuccino. And she goes, got it. And she turns to the barista and goes, one real cappuccino, please. And the barista goes,
wow,
a real cappuccino. Got it, coming up.
Wow.
And I'm like, thank you. I was like, this, I've been waiting. I've been literally, it's been like a year, I've been trying to decipher how to sort of order what I want. And I've never heard the phrase a real cappuccino. And I'm so grateful to know this. So I pay, I go to get the drink, I get it, and it's a fucking tall glass of hot milk with espresso in it. It's not any different. It's the same thing. Maybe the,
you got fucked, Max.
I got fucked. I think they put it in a smaller cup or something. I honestly don't know what the hell was going on. So now there's a new coffee shop right by our office called Werewolf Coffee. Have you been here?
Yes.
It's awesome. It's so cool. It has so much cool hipster shit. There's little succulents everywhere. And it's all built inside of a stationary indoor, like, food truck kind of apparatus. It's so cool. I love this place. But I don't, again, I go in there, I order my cappuccino, and it's a tall glass of milk with espresso in it. So I'm at wit's end. I don't know how to order the drink I want from Werewolf Coffee, which is the place right next to our office. I just want to go over there and get my cappuccino, and I don't know how to do it. So I asked Ben, my co-creator of Cowards, who owns a coffee shop in LA, and I said, Ben, I want this drink. How do I order it? And he said, well, Americans don't really like that drink, so most places you can't really get it. And I said, there must be something I can tell people where they'll make this for me. Like, I'm actually asking for less milk. I want to pay the same amount and have less milk, which is the most expensive ingredient. So just give me what I... Just don't.
You don't want to talk about it.
But I don't want to make a special request. So Ben said, well, go in and try ordering a dry cappuccino because people will know that that means less milk. So I went in and I was like to Werewolf last week and I was like, can I get a dry cappuccino? And they fucking like laughed at me. Like they could tell they were giggling. Like, oh, and the other thing was she rings it up and then says to the barista, can I have a dry cappuccino? And the barista turns around and goes, what? And then she had to like lean in and be like, it's a cappuccino but with less milk. And I watched this whole thing go down and I was like, I'm humiliated. Like I just cucked myself. Like I can't stand here and order a special drink. Do you know what I mean? Like
I feel your pain because what you're describing is something I suffer from this with burgers. I suffer from this with haircuts. I suffer from this with so many things where I think what I want seems so straightforward to me. I know there must be a name. Like you can be one of those idiots who's like, I always order off the secret menu, and it's like, oh, fuck you. But like there's got to be a name for the thing that I want. So like one time I got a haircut I liked, and I wrote down the exact I said, Judy, tell me in exact words what to ask for to get this again. And so I have a file called haircut.md. And it's all it says is 2.5 on the sides, uh-huh. Finger length on top.
Okay.
So here's the thing, though. So I have learned to make this work for me. I've learned to do what you did. You go to somebody who does this a lot, who has done this for years, and you say, look, please wait to tell me if what I want is weird. But I want to describe to you exactly what I want. And then I want you to tell me if there is a name for that I should know, or if there's special coded language that I should use that's a term of art that this person would understand. I cannot believe you have not found this yet. There's got to be a name for what you want.
Honest to God, I don't even know how to Google it. Because what do you
Google? I just look for how to order a cappuccino.
But when I would, when I tried it, and I'm like, order cappuccino with less milk. Good cappuccino. Real I tried it. I can't fucking figure it out. And here's the thing is, even if someone does tell me what to order, and it's like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to ask them for the 12-ounce cup. You're going to say you're going to put in half the milk and steam it this way. Like, can you imagine going up to the counter in a coffee shop and unfolding? You like, fucking, you break the
seal
on
it's a parchment.
And you like
it's a parchment roll.
You open your scroll up and you're like, I've got a lot of instructions here. In fact, let me just come back there and make it myself if you don't mind. It's like that can't be my life. I can't be that guy.
The terms wet and dry are used to describe the amount of foam that a drink has. Dry means lots of thick, pillowy foam. Wet means less foam. Tell me how that makes sense.
Ooh.
Wet, well, because the foam is sort of it does make sense. The foam is the texture. What I want is I basically think, I think what I want is foam and espresso and maybe a small amount of milk.
Okay. And so what's a latte?
A latte is hot milk and coffee espresso, right?
It's cappuccino is foam and coffee?
Well, as far as I can tell, a cappuccino is just, it's the same thing as a latte, but less of it.
I got a feeling these are all the same drink.
They really are. That's what's so frustrating.
What's a macchiato? Like, is a macchiato got a caramel in it? What's a macchiato?
I've never ordered that. I don't know. I know. It's like
Oh, for the love of God, macchiato! It's espresso with a tiny amount of steamed milk.
No, maybe that is.
That might
what
be
I
what
want.
You want. You might want a macchiato. You get a cortado, also known as the Gibraltar. You can get a dirty.
There's
dirty
a new
Sanchez.
Thing called a flat
you can get
white.
A donkey punch.
Do you know what the flat what? White is?
Flat white, very popular. If memory serves, that was very popular in New Zealand when I was there.
Flat white. It's what the KKK says. It's their secret code to indicate their.
I thought that was when you made an okay with your fingers, Max. Make an okay. You know, Germans count to three like this.
Flat white is an espresso-based coffee beverage. The beverage is prepared by pouring microfoam, steamed milk consisting of small fine bubbles.
Oh, you're talking about that thing that's somewhat similar to the traditional 140 milliliter cafe latte, though smaller in volume and less microfoam. Is that the one you're talking about?
I am, yes. And it, okay. But therefore, it has
a higher
proportion
of coffee
to milk.
Does it have a higher or lower proportion of coffee to milk? Okay, all right. What about the consistency? How's the consistency? Is it more or less velvety, would you say?
Well, I would say it allows the espresso to dominate the flavor while being supported by the milk.
Supported by the milk,
maybe,
yes.
You know what? I'm reading this and maybe I want a flat white. Is that possible?
They all sound like the same drink to me. I'm sorry. I know I sound hopelessly provincial. These all sound like coffee plus dairy.
These all sound like disgusting bodily functions to me, and I'm not looking forward to everybody on Twitter correcting
us. Holy shit. Maybe I want a flat white.
You might want a flat. Alex, you should do that. God. You should walk in and start asking for bodily functions. You say, oh, can I get a hot Fisher? Do you guys do a good stoma? How about a stent? How are your stents?
Hang on. Similar. I'm scrolling down to similar beverages on the flat white. Tell me if this makes any. I'm so confused.
That's essentially the opposite of a dry. It's the opposite of a dry.
No, I thought I had it figured out. Okay, it says the flat white is essentially the opposite of a dry cappuccino, which has dry frothy foam but no liquid milk. A flat white has milk or microfoam, but no froth. What the fuck is a microfoam if not froth? How could the froth and the microfoam be different things?
The milk should be velvety rather than fluffy,
therefore, quote-unquote, stronger, which requires a shorter or ristresso run to avoid harsh flavors. Okay, wait a minute. Do I want a velvety milk or a fluffy milk?
You might want a cafe con leche, which uses scalded milk.
No. What do I want? Do I want a velvety or a fluffy milk?
Well, just make sure you know what you're asking for. Dry is wet and wet is dry.
Are there people who go to a coffee shot and they're like, I want a ristresso, give me the ristresso shot with a velvety microphone. Oh, is that a thing that people talk to each other about?
You know people do that. Ugh.
I'm sure people do. Like, I...
Holy shit. Okay, listen to me. Okay, so listen. This is my cry for help to our listeners.
Don't ask for help.
I want you to tell me what to order at Werewolf Coffee so that I can get the drink I want. I just want to give one final. I know that people are not going to listen to this and they're going to tweet me the wrong fucking advice. So let me be very clear about what I want. The drink I want, it has a small volume. It is not a big volume. One of the ways that a cappuccino goes horribly awry is when it comes in a huge glass full of hot milk. I do not want a huge glass full of hot milk. I do not want that. I just want to repeat one more time. Do not tell me to order something that yields me getting a large quantity of hot milk. I don't want to drink that. What I want is a small little glass that I carry around like a dainty Italian man. And he has tiny round glasses and talks about fonts. I want a tiny little cup. I want a tiny little cup. And I want it to be sort of, I have a thick, hearty consistency where it's like a toasty, delicious, foamy treat for my mouth. I do not want a brown hot milk that slightly tastes like coffee.
You don't want a soup bowl of milk art.
I do not want that. Mm-hmm. Do not tell me to order.
Sounds like you want a cappuccino.
I will block you from the podcast if you tell me to order a huge bowl of hot milk. I don't want that.
Oh, God. I would say that we're part of annoying coffee tech Twitter, and I can't believe, like, someone has to know what's happening here. And
you're gonna get a lot of responses. I just don't know how you're even gonna know which one even might be correct.
You're gonna
trial and error. I'll try anything that's plausible. I'll try ordering it. Listen, I might write them all down on a piece of paper and go in and be like, make me one of all of these.
That is exactly what I think you have to do. You need to record it. Every single one of these, let's say the first 20 that you get, I think your pledge, the Max Temkin pledge, is you will go in and you will order all of those exactly however they say, and then you will try each one.
All at once? Okay, yeah. I'm into it. Listen, I'll probably do that. If you send me a plausible drink that I can order. Also, I want to put one other caveat on this, which is don't make me say more than one word. I mean, seriously, like, I'm not going to fucking go in there and order a velvety foam with a this and that. Just tell me what to ask for. Like, I know that this drink exists. Just tell me what to order. Okay, and here's another one other thing is, tell me about this plan. I have also thought in when I was really frustrated about this, that maybe what I would do is get a little cappuccino from Buzz, right? The good one that I like. Walk it over to Werewolf Coffee. Maybe I bring it over in like a temperature container cooler, like I'm transporting like a kidney. Bring it in there, open it up and say, I'll give you $100 if you can make this. And then tell me what it is. What is
prestige.
This?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good idea. They could 3D print it. Mm-hmm. I was so confused by this challenge because the initial challenge was something like, think of a beverage that you like and then get it from someplace else was the original. And then your thing was just go get a drink you like. That was the challenge.
I reverse engineered this whole thing so that the Powder Nation would tell me what kind of coffee to order a werewolf coffee.
Cox is Cox.
Mm. Cox is Cox. Get on the case.
All right, Merlin, what was your... Did you just pick up a beverage then? Are you just enjoying...
I did. I sent you an iPhone photo of my beverage.
One
of my favorite non-alcoholic beverages is an iced coffee. And I don't get it too often because I, like any person who's being honest...
Merlin, did you know that in the background of this photo, you can see the coffee shop?
Oh my God, Gary, what do you see?
You should be pretty careful while posting this online.
I can tell it's daylight out. I have concerns about your privacy.
You want to be in the northern hemisphere?
I'm sending you a link about something called EXIF data. Were you aware? You can uncrop a photo. Did you know that? I drew your dick on this. Anybody could do that. I'm just trying to help you.
Oh, Merlin, if you zoom into the beads of water on the side of this coffee glass, I could see your reflection in them.
I got your fingerprints off the cup. Anyone could do that. I'm just concerned about your privacy.
Merlin, I've taken the picture of your keys and 3D printed a key to your house. I'm just worried about your personal safety.
It's just a proof of concept. And then there's 16 more clowns in his car, and they're all very concerned. Oh, Gary. I remember one of the first times having iced coffee. I was talking to my friend Dave Morris, better known on the internet as Hardy White, and he was talking about how he had had relationships end just on the basis of iced coffee. And I found that this can be true. Iced coffee, you can drink so much iced coffee so fast. And I'm just telling you, buddy, all I do, I get coffee on ice. That's it. I don't put any sugar. I don't do any half and half. It's a delicious treat that I only usually let myself have as a little reward or if I'm traveling or something, just because this might be my meth. Like, I cannot have too much of this or I get super duper weird. And so, and also I didn't understand the challenge, so I went and got something I like. But that's mine. It's a special. I don't get it too often. And you know, once you're somebody who doesn't care that much, I care some about coffee. I mean, I get okay, good coffee. I don't, you know, I even get ground coffee. I don't care. We got a good burr grinder. Don't at me. But I would just assume we just want to drink coffee and get on with our lives. Just coffee on ice. It's the best.
Does the temperature of coffee change, like the chemical makeup? How does it differ? Are you a daily coffee drinker?
Yeah.
Why does iced coffee make you weird?
Why do you park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? What's up with that?
On an airplane. Everything on an airplane is small. They got tiny bottles, tiny seats.
I hate coffee. I don't really understand coffee. When I go to Starbucks, I'm like, can I have, and I'm like ordering something for Mel. I'm like, can I have a small something? They're like, you mean tall? I'm like, yeah, just, I don't know the words. Like, what is it about iced coffee?
Well, you know, coffee... When you make fresh coffee, and it's the sooner you drink it after it's made, the tastier it is. It loses some of its, I don't even care about the technology or science behind this, but coffee is better when it's very fresh. But also then there's a slight kind of, you don't want to get mouth meat. You can't drink a hot coffee super fast. You could slam it when it's cooling off, but there's a natural kind of rhythm to drinking a cup of coffee over a certain amount of time. You don't get that at all with an iced coffee. Because first of all, you get an iced coffee often when it's hot out. You get it when you're really thirsty. And it's really easy to slam one and then want another because it's like, oh, this is nothing. But then 20 minutes later, you're just like, you know, your skin is crawling and you're, you know, trying to climb the walls. But no, I don't know if it changes the taste that fundamentally. It can be quite delicious to put a little bit of half and half in. But I've greatly, for no particular reason, I've greatly curtailed my dairy in the last probably 6 months or so. I just, you know, it's one less thing to buy, one less thing to go bad. So I generally drink black coffee now.
Mm.
But you don't like it at all. You like those Millennium energy drinks, right?
A little.
Max?
I've never had an energy drink in my life.
No, I want you to vet Alex's noise.
Oh, you're asking me to die. I've almost never seen Alex not drinking an energy drink, to be honest.
Okay, right. Thank you. Well, that's what I thought.
So my beverage of choice, I really enjoy artificially sweetened things. Like, I don't enjoy regular soda. Like, I think it's gross. However, I do like sugar-free things that have, like, the phenyl... What is it? Phenylalanine? I'm putting it in our super secret chat. So this morning, I went and bought about $20 worth of fake sugary things. And so have you ever had an energy drink, Merlin, of any sort?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, so some of my favorites that
I've had Red Bulls back when Red Bull was popular.
Oh, it's still popular. Here's one right now.
This is the fucking fourth one that you've had during this podcast,
no,
Alex.
No, I've not. I have not. Okay. During the show, I've had various various energy drinks. Red Bull is still popular. My go-to when I'm desperate is sugar-free Red Bull, which tastes like piss, I'm led to believe. However, when I'm not, like, I don't need to stay up super late, I just enjoy regular Diet Coke, not Diet Pepsi, because they took the aspartame out of there, and I'm aware that it's cancer water. But it's delicious cancer water. Max's girlfriend Veronica, I was like, okay, what can I drink that won't kill me? And this is see how it even sounds different when I open it? It's a Zevia, which is zero calorie soda, no sugar, no artificial sweeteners, but it has stevia in it. And I want it. Let me see.
Can I have one of these?
Mm-hmm. Please do. Wow, that's disgusting. Okay.
They're not cold. This is going to be a problem for me.
Well, we've been talking a while. I actually also picked up, I cheated a bit. My new favorite beverage is a frozen Coke from McDonald's.
Okay. I have a number of problems with this.
Tasting notes, Max?
I have a number of problems with this. Number one, it's clear. It's in a dark blue can. It looks very much with a red logo. It looks very much like an off-brand Coca-Cola, but it's clear, which is very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the bubble to flavor ratio is a little bit weird.
It's just off.
It tastes like the bubblator machine.
SodaStream.
It tastes like a SodaStream where you fart it a few too many times, and you're like, I'm really exceeding the safe.
Oh, you're saying it's over carbonated under taste.
That is correct. But also, like, and it doesn't have very much flavor at all when you first drink it. It's almost just sort of a sugary carbonated water. It tastes like sugar flavor.
But there's no sugar.
But the aftertaste, it just fucking lingers. It's like a sucrose. It's just... Oh, it tastes like I'm sucking on a Sweet and Low packet.
you're sucking on a stevia packet.
And it's still going. It's just a saccharine, an upsetting saccharine flavor just all up in my mouth.
All right. So
I can't. Do you not taste that on your tongue?
Oh no, I do. It's terrible. It's disgusting.
It's like still going.
It's like I did pour a small packet of stevia into water and then drank it. So we've gone through my typical favorite beverage, which is a Diet Coke. If we want to get like high level, it's a Diet Coke from McDonald's, because what they do is right when they get it, they mix it with carbonated water and they put it on ice, which is not what most fast food, whatever chains are, wherever they have the mixed, you know, like the syrup mix.
Right.
The typical millennial drink, energy drink, is Monster. And this is, my favorite is Monster Energy Ultra Sunrise. This is such engaging content. Oh, I broke the tip. Okay. Just
Alex,
a tip.
Your hands are shaking.
No, they're not. It's just hard to open. I'm fine.
You have
everything's
like a
fine.
Tremor. I think I can hear your heartbeat through the mic, through the headphones.
I just heard you open like four drinks.
Well, I'm not finishing them all.
There's eight drinks in front of Alex
right now.
Sound pretty defensive.
Oh, God, it's sweet.
And this one is described as unleashing the ultra beast. And this is like, this is what people used to mix with drinks. It tried to be Four Loko, but it tastes like orange. Do you remember Tang? It tastes like Tang. So it's like, if you're exhausted and sad, this is the drink you want to relive your childhood and get an unhealthy dose of caffeine.
They're just going to have to run with that. Mm-hmm. That's good. if you're exhausted.
Oh, this is Alex. This
okay.
Sorry. This Zevia drink that you brought in.
It's recommended.
It's one of the worst things I've ever tasted in my life. It's like I can't stop burping these like sweet burps.
All right. So
have you ever eaten like an entire container of like Baba Ganoush and then you have a burp and then like 10 minutes later you have a burp and just like the paint starts peeling off the wall where the whole lunch's worth of odor comes up. Do you know what I'm talking about, Merlin?
I do. I have very mimetic burps, and I apparently am immune to how much my burps smell because my daughter could be on the other side of the room.
Oh wow!
And she makes a face, and she like walks out of the room.
It's disgusting.
I'm like, that's the salami talking.
It's one of the most disgusting things in the world. And the thing is, it smells exactly like the Baba Ganoush. You're like, there's the Baba Ganoush. It's back. I remember that exactly. And the same thing is happening with this soda, except it has no flavor. It's just sweet.
I mean, it's not soda. It's naturally flavored.
What does it say?
I lied.
What does it say on the can?
Yes.
But I want to know how right I am.
Turns out,
what it says on the can?
Zevia zero calorie soda.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, I got you another drink, Max.
What is this?
This is. God, I have so
it's
many drinks
like
on this.
It's got like a red blood drop coming off of it.
So this is refresh. It's refresh with an extra E at the end, and it's like a ripoff.
That's a Safeway seltzer.
So we have in Chicago, we have Jewel Osco and Mariano's as our like local food chain. And so while as I was going to three different...
Let's toast.
Refreshy! So I've never tried this. Mm. Oh, that's terrible. No.
Oh, boy.
Are you having a soda? Like a pop?
Right now, we're having soda pop soda that is a the generic Diet Coke. And this is way worse.
Oh, that's no good. No.
No, this is much worse than the Zevia. Oh.
Well, it has the same... It suffers from the same problem of it's way too sweet for how much flavor it has. Is this also the same sweetener?
I don't know if it has aspartame in it, but
no,
yes,
it has the same.
This
is aspartame. I mean, this is fine.
No.
It tastes like a bad Diet Coke. Mm. It tastes like, do you ever go to a restaurant and they're like, Diet Coke mix is like all wrong? It's like way too like.
McDonald's is the only one that does it right. All right, this is a Coke. Have you ever had Coke Zero, Merlin?
Oh, it's the Zevia.
Yeah, John Scalzi drinks that stuff, and I admired how much he was able to drink of Coke Zero, and I tried it, and I almost was ready to try to become a Coke Zero person. Didn't quite take. I definitely like it better than Diet Coke.
I hate this. This Zevia, I cannot get it out of my mouth.
I'm so sorry, Max.
I can't tell by the ingredients what is different in Diet Coke and Coke Zero, but I hate Coke Zero.
Coke Zero is for men.
It's disgusting.
Of course you don't like it. It's Diet Coke for men.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. It's true. It's not for you,
All
Alex.
Right, and so I'm going to move on to a wild card, which is a Diet Dr. Pepper.
This looks crazy. The sort of tableau in front of me.
So
could you if you don't mind if it hey I can see your drinks in the background, could you take a photo and send it to me please?
My new favorite beverage that I'm going to recommend to people is Red Bull, the purple edition, which is also sugar-free. Mm. And it's acai, acai, whatever flavor.
I have never met anyone who knows how to pronounce it. It drives my wife crazy because she hates mispronouncing things. She got an acai bowl, and she didn't even want to say what it was. She felt so bad. How do you say it? Is it acai?
I don't know how to pronounce anything. But now I'm burpy. Red Bull gives you wings.
I'm telling you, it's the Zevia. It's coming back for you to haunt you.
Red Bull is appreciated worldwide by top athletes, busy professionals. That's me. College students and travelers on long journeys. It's a low-calorie product. Oh, wait. Fuck this. This is 15 calories. I'm sorry. I'm unrecommending the purple edition of Red Bull, but it's so good.
This is a lot more complicated than I expected.
Oh, yeah. You know what I've never understood? Red Bull, it has...
I like the ones where you talk.
I've had so much caffeine. If you look...
You think?
if you look at the top of a Red Bull can, like, it's clearly supposed to be a bull, but it, if you know that it's a bull, but really it looks like a little elephant. All right, I'm done. This is done. But I don't understand, like, what's the 15 calories in this? Because there's no sugar. I don't know. But, yeah, my favorite beverage, in conclusion, is artificially sweetened and carbonated drinks.
Yeah. All right.
This is why I don't talk on the show. All
right. I wasn't too long ago, you know, when you're a kid, you make a suicide, you know, you go and you mix all of them. But I've become a real connoisseur. But what happened?
No, I don't know.
Alex is all hopped up on goofballs. She says she has 30 energy. She's been drinking them all show. She already put down two of them, and now we just drank another six.
Oh, this is irresponsible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at the photo. Oh, my goodness.
Every single one of these cans also says not recommended for children, pregnant, or nursing women, and persons sensitive to caffeine. So I think I might be in the last group. But, yeah, anyway. I feel those are all of my beverages. I was going to do whiskey, but that would be a much more expensive endeavor. Anyway,
that should be another show. Mm-hmm. I try to limit my soft drink intake. I try to just limit my amount of sugar in general. Who cares? But I will occasionally have something I discovered a few years ago, which is 1/3, there's probably a name for this. See, I don't even know what to order. 1/3, mostly 1/3 Dr. Pepper, 2/3 Coke, lots of ice. Top it off with a little bit of seltzer. That's a very refreshing drink.
But Merlin, these don't have any sugar in them. That's the point. It's just, it's got cancerous chemicals, but there's no sugar. It's
but
great.
I mean, isn't that like moving on to vaping? Aren't you just a different kind of weirdo now?
Yeah. But you're gonna get a different kind of cancer. Like you're not gonna get lung cancer, but you're probably gonna get mouth cancer.
I'm a snowflake. I'm a snowflake. I want different cancer. Yeah, I want to get a fissure. Get a stent. Get a stoma.
There's so much taurine in this.
Red Bull gives you wings.
There's also a lot of salt I was unaware of. Wow, 150 milligrams. That can't be good. That's like twice the amount of salt you're supposed to have.
Wow, that's
a lot
of salt.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a lot of salt. Oh, this has been such a great episode, guys.
I'm ready for a nap.
I'm not.
All right.
There you go. There's your end.